so glad to be here at Good Shepherd Baptist Church, enjoying every moment of it. And I want to thank God, because as we just read in 100 Psalm, it is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. Unfortunately, if you take an NIV Bible, you'll not find that phrase, not we ourselves. That's why people are living to themselves, you know. God made us. So we need to give Him all the glory and praise and honor, you know, and I thank Him for giving me this opportunity, because if it wasn't for Him, I wouldn't be here. And I want to thank Brother Milbury for inviting me again to come and see you guys and enjoy the fellowship and worship God. Why we are gathered here is because of Him. So I want to thank God for that, and I want to thank for Brother Milbury, and I want to thank God for men like Brother Milbury. And I want to thank God for churches like this. And I thank God that we are not in any in-between church. So I want to thank God for everything that He has done for us, you know. Most importantly, for the salvation that is given to us. Amen. Freely. It's free because we can't buy it. We can't afford it. Even if we could buy it, our sinful blood doesn't atone for it. That's why He had to come down and give it to us freely. So before I go further and my girls will start cringing, you know, let's finish a song, you know, in praise of God. So I really do thank God for this opportunity again. And I just can't thank Him enough for all the favors that He does. It's He who has given us this mouth and this voice. I enjoyed every moment of the singing back there. And it's He, you know, it's because of Him who's holding us. Otherwise, we can't hold ourselves. We're going to do about three songs, not the whole songs, you know, just choruses. I like to sing from the book of Psalms or from the Bible itself. So these three choruses, or at least two of them, are from the Bible. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, city of the great King. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, city of the great King. Greater is He that is in thee, greater is He that is in the world, greater is He that is in thee than he that is in the world. Again. Greater is He that is in thee, greater is He that is in thee, greater is He that is in thee, He that is in the world. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify the Jesus the King. Oh, Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Oh, Majesty, Kingdom authority flows from His throne unto His own, His anthems ring. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. The Bible says we should not put trust in horses. Back in those days, they had horses. We don't have to have horses. We have our cars, you know. You shouldn't put trust in princes or in Egypt. Egypt is metaphorically compared to the world, you know. And princes like the ones who are leading the country. We don't have to put our trust in them because they're going to disappoint us. Everybody. There's no perfect king until Jesus Christ who comes here. That's what he's proving to the world, you know. By giving us these heads of states, he's telling us that the ultimate head of state is coming. That's Jesus Christ. He's perfect. We're not going to be disappointed in him. And all these people are disappointing us, you know. That's why we shouldn't put our trust in any of these of heads of state. So I want to thank God again for this opportunity. I want to thank Brother Milbury for letting us come in again and visit this wonderful church. And it is Good Shepherd Church, you know. Good Shepherd is Jesus Christ. And the Great Shepherd is Jesus Christ. And he's also the Chief Shepherd. And I like a church which has a good foundation. And we enjoyed the morning Sunday school with Brother Fox. A good foundation in this church. You know, I can see that. Because Jesus says, you know, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them is like a house that's built upon a rock. And the rock is Jesus Christ. So no church can be built on any human being. I say that keeping in view of so many TV ministries that you see them having a .org with their name in front. They might be teaching some good stuff, but that's not enough. That's why Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. That is Jesus Christ himself. He is the rock. Not John Hagee, not Jimmy Swaggart, or anybody, you know. That's why it's a Baptist church. And I'm a Baptist because Jesus was a Baptist. Did you know that? And not a denominational Baptist. Because there's only one kind of a church according to the Bible. And it is a Baptist church. Because John the Baptist, you know, he baptized even Jesus Christ. If you were baptized in a Methodist church, you would be a Methodist. If you were baptized in a Pentecostal church, you would be a Pentecostal. If you're baptized by a Baptist, what do you become? All the disciples were baptized by the Baptist. So they're all Baptists. They just didn't need to put it up right then. Because there are so many around now, we have to put it up there. And we should be proud of that name. A lot of people remove that name. They're not really Baptists, you know. Remember, the word Baptist came even before the word Christian came. So the same people down, if you see their link, at Antioch, they were called Christians. Antioch Church comes from the Church at Jerusalem. And the Church at Jerusalem, all those disciples, Jesus Christ, they're all baptized by John the Baptist. So I love being in a Baptist church. I was not a Baptist. I didn't raise up or, you know, my mom and dad were not Baptists. They were Christians, you know. I'm glad of that. By trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become a Christian. You don't have to be a Baptist, or let me say it properly, you know, let me not misunderstand or be misunderstood. My mom and dad were Christians even before we were born, you know. So even before they were married. And that's a great privilege for me to be born in a Christian family. We have family altar even today. My mom passed away in January, but my dad will not have any guest in our house who would not get up and sit for family altar. If you want to come and stay in our house for a day, you know, or a night, you will be getting up in the morning, even if you're tired. He will come and wake you up. We do have family altar. So we were raised like that, around the Word of God. But as we humbled ourselves to the truth of the Word of God, we became Baptists by conviction. Not by convenience. I'm not a Baptist because, you know, something, you know, was convenient to me. No, not at all. So let me not stray into anything else, but I'm glad to be at Good Shepherd Baptist Church here and not in an in-between church like we just saw. You know, there are so many people who are hanging between. I'm really enjoying every moment here. I can talk about so many things that are happening here, you know, right now. But I want to get to the Word of God, which is what God wants us to hear. So I want to thank God for this church again, you know. I don't see as many as I did last time. I hope they're not sick, you know. And I know the Cowboys are not playing till 4:30 this evening. Because I'm a Cowboy fan too, you know. And I'm a Cowboy fan to the core. I never change loyalties. Even if I do change cities, I won't change cities also. Except it is for the mission field, you know. So I thank God for this great privilege he's given me to serve him. You know, when I saw some brothers with the motorcycles, you know, your pastor likes motorcycles. I love motorcycles too. But, you know, I wanted to be a NASCAR driver. Can you believe an Indian be a NASCAR driver? And I think I said that last time too. You know, when you're going driving to Shreveport on I-20, you can see a college named Laterno with the you know, the green boards on the highway. Laterno College. And that college is a Christian college. I don't know how it is now. Lots of colleges started off as Christian colleges. We know that. Brown College, you know, all these things. They became secular because to maintain those colleges, they have to become secular to let everybody in. But this Laterno College had a racing track, a racing school. It's a Bible college. So I was trying to get into that because my dad wouldn't have or wouldn't help me if I wasn't doing anything regarding in relation to the Bible. He wouldn't help me financially. So I had to please him and I had to please myself. So I found a perfect college right there. So I was trying to come in. I got my admission, everything, because I wanted to sit in one of those NASCARs, you know, and drive them. You know, I want to be a NASCAR driver because I grew up at the time of Richard Petty, you know, Rusty Wallace, those guys. So I love racing myself. Even today I do. But that was my priority. God was second to me. But then God taught me that I should be honoring God first. Because the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be. God never takes second place. You know who takes second place? Satan does. He'll tell you that it's Jesus. No, it's not. He'll tell you that it's God. No, it's not. It's Satan. God will not take second place. He is first or none. He's second to none. So God taught me that. So I put him first. And then I said, Lord, use me. But you know, along the way, if I do get a chance to drive a NASCAR, I will drive still. A pastor up in the east, you know, in Weatherford, Brother Charles Weatherby, he told me, Rufus, you come next time, I'll take you out for a spin on Texas Motor Speedway. I asked him, how much do you do? 150. I said, I do 100 in India. Have you ever seen traffic in India? Just go to YouTube and say driving in India. You will see that. You know, I do 100 there also. So 150 here would be nothing. I think I'll definitely do more than 200 here on these tracks. But I want to thank God. I want to go to a scripture passage in the Bible which I call as the heart of the Bible. My favorite book on the face of the earth is the Bible. And I will go to the heart of the Bible, which is the favorite book in the Bible for me, which is the book of Psalms. And which Psalms basically, you know, it amalgamates the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. You can find everything in the book of Psalms. And I'm glad God is leading this morning service, the worship message also, as we have read 100 Psalms, which I was going to read anyway. Because the Bible says, sing unto the Lord all ye lands. And I do feel envious, you know, when I see Americans calling themselves as a nation under one God. And it really thrills me. That's why I would like to call myself an American. Not because of the comforts here or anything else, but because this nation acknowledges the God of the Bible. When it says, in God we trust, it's not Allah it's acknowledging. It's not those 330 million gods, by the way. It's not thousands. It's millions. You know, in India, they believe those gods. And all, you know, monkey god, elephant god, and they really believe them. And when it comes to academical knowledge, you know, excellence, Indians do very good. You might find them everywhere, you know, in medical field and in NASA, 35% are Indians, you know. And all computer stuff, you know, Indians are good at that. But when it comes to the concept of God, they go and worship something which is man-made, which is made by a hand, a monkey god, an elephant god, you know. They worship even rats. Can you believe that? So where's their head knowledge gone? It's blinded. The Bible says that the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4, had blinded the minds of those who believe not, lest the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine unto them. They can't understand Jesus Christ because they're blinded. So this Psalm 100, you know, which we just read, Sing unto the Lord all ye lands, you know. All the lands are made by God. But every land should acknowledge that God. And America did. That's why I love America. Because this country stood for the word of God. Stood for the God of the Bible. Unfortunately, now it's going down. My dad, when he was doing deputation in the 70s, I used to do all his slides and all those. And he used to always say, Eastern cults are creeping into the West. Now if you go to Irving, you know, you'll find Hindu temples. They're already here. And they've influenced all the language, the customs of America, you know. There are churches who have yoga classes. You know, don't have anything to do with yoga. I don't mind if you do stretching exercises. Call them stretching exercises. But don't call them yoga. Because yoga is a term from the Hindu religion. Ultimately, they take you into grades. You know, as you go up higher, they'll tell you to chant or, you know, or meditate on a secret word they're going to whisper into your ears, you know. It's all going to be the same word, but they'll tell you not to tell the other. And that word is in praise of those gods. So don't get into that, okay? So all those, the cults have come into this country and ruined it. Why do you think the thought process of everybody in this country is warped? It's because all those cults have come in. A lot of the language, you know, English is an accommodative language. You know, the word like mantra, you know, guru, and avatar. The movies came out. You know, what's an avatar? It's an incarnation. The name, the word, you know. It's all in the English language now. You use it in a regular basis. You know, the word pajamas is actually from India. You know that? If my daughter, you know, my second daughter is wearing a particular kind of clothes which are Indian, you know. So they're called kurta, which is the top, and pajama. So actually the word comes from India, you know. So a lot of words did come into English language, but unfortunately the religious lingo is coming in. And people are finding it okay, you know. That accommodative spirit is bringing everything in, and the very thought process of American mentality has changed. And that's why you find so much of damage done to this country, and we just heard it in Brother praying here, you know. This country is also getting ruined. You know, it is ruined to a very great extent. But I think it has the capacity to also pull back. And prayer, like Brother said, you know, Brother Milbury said, if you're not on your knees, you're gone. And this country was built on, you know, prayer. And I love this country because of that. You can praise God freely here. You can worship God freely. In India, just like in the morning, I was studying in the brothers' meeting there, that in the morning I saw a video on WhatsApp, that a man who trusted the Lord, he's an older gentleman. He was caught and they took him to a temple in India and they're making him renounce Jesus Christ. So you don't have freedom in that country. The government which is ruling that country right now is a Hindu fundamentalist government. So they encourage all these Hindu fundamentalist groups, you know, which are terroristic in their mentality and in their deeds. They go and burn churches, you know, and then all those things. So you should thank God for the liberty that you have in this country to worship Him, you know. And I thank God for that because this country does acknowledge the God of the Bible as the God which mentions on the dollar, you know, in God we trust. So let's go to that God and His book, because the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So if you want to claim that you know God, you should know the Word. The more you know the Word, the more you know God. And I want to reiterate, you know, or clarify some things. Everybody uses the word, you know, Spirit, Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit told me to do this, you know. The Holy Spirit is in this place. How do you identify the Holy Spirit? Is the way the preacher prays, you know, with the screaming voice? Does that, you know, drag the Holy Spirit to come into the presence here? No, not at all. The Bible doesn't speak like that at all. I would use the word of God to reiterate what I'm saying. Ephesians 6, chapter 17, verse, it says that wearing the helmet of salvation, or taking the helmet of salvation, and then the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So wherever the word of God is present in its fullest, or where it is preached to its absolute truth, that's where the Spirit of God resides or dwells. That would be my definition. Because everybody can claim that, you know. That, you know, God is here, you know. God is being worshipped here, you know. wonderful singing. There are so many churches who are much bigger in size, and they have great choirs, you know, blowing their voices away and claiming that God is there. But how do you say that God is there? The Word of God should, you know, support that statement. And I just told you in Ephesians 6:17, it says, taking the sword of the Spirit, the Word is there, the Word Spirit is there, which is the Word of God. So the Word of God is very crucial, very vital, very important, or the most important. Man cannot know God, man cannot know about God if it was not for the Word of God. That's why in 136 Psalm, let's go right there. We'll be, you know, kind of browsing around. That's the term which we know in this generation. Browsing in Psalms, you know. Psalm 138, we know that. Second verse, I'm sorry, 138. We all know this verse. We'll take second verse. I will worship toward thy holy temple, which was there in the Old Testament, you know, King Solomon's temple. But now, God does not live in man-made temples. Stephen reiterated that in his preaching, his last message in Acts 7 chapter. God doesn't live in these edifices. He lives in us, in our heart, when we receive him as our Savior. So he says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Everybody claims that word truth. But what is truth? The absolute truth. They think truth is subjective. What is true to you is not true to me. Or what is truth to you is not truth to me. How can it be? Then they become two truths. There can never be two truths. There can be only one truth. That's why when Jesus said, I am the way, it's a definite article, not an indefinite article. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man can come to the Father, but that means he's 100% truth. So we need 100% truth regarding everything. And he did give us 100% truth in the Word of God. And I believe that it's a King James Bible. And it says, look at, for thou hast magnified, look at that word thou. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Three times that first person singular. Thou hast magnified, that means God has magnified thy word, that means his word, above all thy name, that is his name. How would you know his name without his word? You don't know Jesus' name, the name of Jesus, if it wasn't for the word of God. So, folks, the word of God is very, very important. So, Satan is trying to change the Bible today. We have more than, like some people say, 250 translations out there. You can't have them. Even this word, I don't even acknowledge the New King James Bible. You know why? Because they have simplified the word you. So when I say, well, you come here to my daughters, you know, it can mean singular as well as plural. Now the word thy is a singular. So it's not rocket science to learn the King James Bible. Thee, thou, thine is singular. Ye, you, your is plural. Now, did you have to go to Stanford to learn that? No. See, people, they just want some excuse. So even the New King James Bible is not accurate. We have to get to the King James Bible. Because God has preserved this book for us in the English-speaking language, you know. That's why we translate. Pray for our translation work. I sit on the table for about 10 to 12 hours a day. I'm exhausted mentally by the time I finish every day's work in India. We're trying to bring the Bible into our language. India has about 29 states. Every state you cross the border is a different language. And those languages go way back. They come from a language or a Semitic language named as Sanskrit, which is the same as a Semitic language called Hebrew and Aramaic or Arabic. You know, they're all Semitic languages. So all these languages are derived from that very old language. So they're very old, much older than English. So they have their strong points and weak points also. We're trying to bring the Bible into their language, but using the King Hebrew and the Greek, which is underlying this text here. But anyway, let's go back to our scripture saying that the Word of God is so important and vital. And God wants us to know the whole truth, not partial truth. And he's given us his word so that we might know his truth. And I'll take you to another place, you know, where in John's Gospel, you don't have to go there. I'll just read it. When the Lord was talking to the Samaritan woman who was an illiterate, she was not an educated person, as we see in the passage. We don't see any indication that she studied in Oxford or Cambridge. But we see here that the Lord tells her about worship. Everybody is doing worship today. But God's worship is only one way. It's not so many kinds of worship. He has given us His word that we might find out how we should worship Him. Not the way we want to worship Him. So today the churches are, you know, going haywire, confused about this term called worship, and do anything and everything what they want to do and call it as worship. But we need to be careful about that. Let's come what the Lord told this Samaritan woman from 22nd verse in 23, 24, I'll read. John's Gospel, 4th chapter. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, the Lord is saying. Because for salvation is of the Jews. Remember, Jesus was a Jew. He came unto His own, but His own received Him not. That's why we get the privilege of knowing that. So unto whomsoever, you know, whosoever, you know, for all who have received Him and who have believed His name can be called the sons of God. John 1:16. So we have that privilege. So Joseph, you know, crucified Him, so we get the privilege of knowing Jesus Christ. But the worship, you know, Jews knew that. But the hour cometh, 23rd verse, and now is when the true worshippers, that means there are false worshippers also. The Muslims think that they're worshipping God, running around that tomb of Muhammad in Mecca and Medina, you know. They go there and walk around that, you know. And they think that they're worshipping God. Every time they do that five-time namaz, they call it, you know. They think that they're worshipping. And they will not eat anything that is not halal. And America has been influenced. I've been in Canada. All halal sections will be there. What they mean halal is that every animal that is being killed is actually a sacrifice to God who created it, which is right, you know, I don't mind that. But you don't have to say halal. Every time we eat God, we should thank God, that's why, you know. But what they say is, you know, halal, if it's not halal, then it is, that's what they say, Bismillah, Rahimdulillah. That means every time they cut a slaughter a chicken or anything, you know, they'll say that. They think that's called halal and that they're worshiping. But not in those things. God doesn't reside in those things. But it says, when true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. That's what we're looking at. So how do we worship God, you know? It is a very big subject. I don't want to go into it because you've got a one wonderful pastor who's a teacher also and wonderful teachers. I just had a good session with Brother Fox's teaching there. So let's go back to the scriptures. I want to go to this morning's message. It's going to be simple, okay? Psalm 29, 1 and 2. Let's go there, please. Because as we just sang those choruses, our God is great. And great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. So we need to worship God, you know. The reason we are here, still left on the face of the earth, is only to worship Him and serve Him. All this 6-day week which we have to do our jobs, you know, is God's grace. You know, when man sinned, when Adam sinned, he should have died right there. He didn't have any right to live. But God is good. God is gracious. He wants to show how gracious He is. He's letting mankind multiply. But when man sinned, when Adam sinned, he should have died right there. But he didn't. So we don't have any right to live, is what I'm trying to say. We can't claim any right to live. Oh, I have this right. I have to live. No, you don't. We heard in the morning Bible study there in the Sunday school that, you know, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. When Adam sinned, he should have died right then. You and me wouldn't have been here today. So we don't have any right to live. That's why Paul knew that. You know, he said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Because we don't have any right to live on the face of the earth if we are not worshiping God, that is living for Him and going and serving Him. These are the only two reasons that He kept us here. And He reminds us every Sunday. And every Wednesday, you know, if you're coming on a Wednesday. Or, you know, your prayer, midweek prayer service. So He's reminding us, it's me. It's because of me you're here, you know. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be here. So we need to learn to give God. So I'll read these two verses. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. You know, I've changed my mind just recently, and I'm watching more of college football than NFL. Because they're playing on Saturday. So I can go to the Lord's house on Sunday. So I'm trying to learn that, you know, I need to love college football more than NFL. Because NFL is keeping us out of church. All these strong fellas, you know, when you see them, you know, you want to make. I always had this obsession to get my neck big. You know, I could never do that. Remember, I'm Indian, you know, I can never get those things. So give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. You know, all our strength, where do we go and live? Give. What do we give it to? NFL? You know, all this, everything else. But it says, you know, if you take the simple way of that word mighty, all ye mighty, you know, you might have power politically. You might be the CEO of Microsoft, Bill Gates, whatever, you know, you might be. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. We have to learn to give him the glory. That's why majesty, we just sang, you know. Worship his majesty. He is a majestic God. He is a king of kings. You know, they made a big thing about President Obama and his wife going and meeting the Queen of England, you know. She didn't do that courtesy, you know, that gesture. They have to learn, you know, they go to these classes to do that, you know, the way they do it, you know, the courtesy. I don't do it, I'll get stuck. So, and Michelle Obama shook her hand, which is not supposed to, you're not supposed to touch the royalty. Well, they're not royal according to the Bible. We are the royal folks. The Bible says, we are the royal priesthood. We belong to royalty, folks. We belong to a king of kings. Let's not forget that. So we need to learn to worship him. We need to give him the glory and strength. Jesus said, you know, what are the biggest commandments? There are only two. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your spirit, with all your strength. We give all our strength to the world. And then when we are, you know, weak and sick, we want Jesus Christ. That's not the way it should be. We need to learn to give him the glory, you know, when we are strong. So it says, twice it says that. Now, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord. Why does the Bible repeat itself? Because we need repetition, don't we? Don't do that. I'm telling you, don't do that. We keep telling the kids, don't we? But how much ever we tell, still the same. But the Bible is full of repetitions. Why? Because it's for our admonition, for our edification, for our good. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Because there is coming a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall come. But now we are going to do it voluntarily, you know, willfully. He wants willful worship, not forceful worship. There's going to come a day, you know, even those who pierce his side will bow in front of him. But God doesn't want that kind of a worship. He has given us free will. By the way, the King James Bible only translates it perfectly. When God told Adam, of all the fruit of the Garden of Eden, thou mayest freely eat. The word freely, you will not find it in the Hebrew text. It's called something called, in the Hebrew grammar, called infinitive absolute. Because right down there says, the day you do not eat, or you eat from that, of that fruit, thou shalt surely die. The word surely you will not find in the Hebrew. That has to be done by the translator. So I would go to the extent of saying the King James Bible translators were even inspired. People don't go to that extent. Oh, brother, you can't say that, you know. You have to be academically intellectual to say something like that. That's how I'm saying it. If you want to take it that way or ignorantly, I'm saying the word of God is preserved for us. Thou mayest freely eat. That means the word freedom. Freely, the word freedom comes from there. We are free beings, folks. God doesn't force us to trust him. He expects us to trust him. You understand? Because he made us. He created us. And not only did he create us, when he created us, when man fell in sin, he didn't say, it's not like a paper, you know, you just do this. You know, when we mess up on the printer, you know, we just crash the paper and throw it in the, or we throw it into that, crush, what do you call that? The shredder, yeah. But God didn't shred us. He prepared a plan for us. He cursed Eve. He said, you're going to bear children with sorrow. I wonder if he didn't curse her, how men would have been bearing children. I don't know. And then he turned to the serpent and said, I will send my seed. Let's read that, you know. I like that verse. 3:15, Genesis 3:15. I like Brother Will Milbury because he didn't give me a limit or a time to cut off. But I'm a missionary, you know, and I've been in Texas, so I'm a Texan. So I can shoot from my holster as well as take out my rifle. So I won't keep you long, and I have the clock to check me in front of me. 15 verse, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You know what that's talking about? I'm not going to break it down for you. It's talking about Jesus Christ coming after 4,000 years. That's what the verse is talking about. So that he has promised that Jesus is going to come down to save us. He not only created us, he also made a plan to save us. And that's the curse we see. And man, he didn't curse man. Remember that. If you go down, you can read in 17th verse. And to Adam, he said, if you go down in that verse, he says, cursed is the ground for thy sake. He cursed the ground. He didn't curse Adam. Why? Because Adam has to go and, you know, bear his, take out the sweat in that ground to make it grow or to make it be fruitful. But anyway, let's get back to that. We need to give unto the Lord. First of all, we need to know that Lord. If we have to give him the glory, you know, everybody is holding on Trump and, you know, Hillary's placards, you know, or hoardings and all these. Whose are you holding? Are we holding up Jesus Christ? Are we holding up the God who prepared this great plan of salvation for us in Jesus Christ? He sent his only begotten Son. He didn't send somebody else. He sent his only begotten Son. Jesus Christ came. So we need to make him the Lord of our life. Romans 9, 10 and 11. Romans 10, 9 and 10. I'm sorry. Romans 10, 9 and says, thou shalt, if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. That means Jesus means Savior. And you should make him the Lord of your life. That means the Lord means that you do whatever he says. So that Lord told that commandment, you know, saying, you shall worship the, or you shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. So the key word in that verse, in Mark's Gospel, 12th chapter 30 and 31, is what I just mentioned. The first commandment, the word all, not half of it, you know. I like the Lord, you know, I like Jesus, you know. That Eddie Murphy in some movie, I remember. I like Jesus, man, yeah, I do like Jesus, you know. It's not just you like Jesus, you have to love him. And just not love him, like how you love, you know, Whataburger or some pizza. You have to love him with all your heart. The word all is the key word in that verse, you know. Are you loving him all or half? Well, I do love him, you know, but I can't get over this. We must love him with all our heart. That is the first commandment. So that's what I'm talking about. If thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and believe in thine heart that he has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's what salvation is all. So we need to know, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Why? Second verse, again he goes on. Give unto the Lord, Psalm 29, I'm reading, the glory due unto his name. Do we understand the word glory? You know, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When God made Adam, or when God made man, he made him with dominion. Did you know that? He gave him dominion. Who gives us dominion today? They take away our dominion. They take away our right. But God created man when he did that in Genesis 1:26, and I'll read it for you. 28, sorry. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God made man with dominion. He has given us the right. Has anyone seen anyone, herding the cattle or tending the cattle, or if you see the cattle tending the shepherd. You never see that the other way around. Do you? Who gave you that right to do that to that animal? You know, you go, you know, you have to take it on the horse and take it into the shed, you know, or wherever the manger, you know. How come it's not the other way around? No, people are all crazy, you know, all these animal protection agencies they have, you know. They just don't even know where to place it. So here we see, we have to give unto the Lord the glory in which he has created us. He wants to restore us or bring us back to that glory. We don't even understand what it's all about. But if you know Jesus Christ, you can start off with it. You can begin to know that glory. Because we have lost that glory. It says, for all have sinned and come short of that glory of God. So what man does is, when I tell in India to people, you know, what man is trying to do is, they bring all this religion. So what the religion does is, like how that brother had brought the chair here for the sisters to sit down, you know. If you have to hold on to something, you know, you reach something, you get onto a stool or something, you know, something that you can climb. That's what religion is all about. It just tries to give you that artificial feeling that you can, you know, reach it. But Christianity is not a religion, folks. Religion is a repetition of rituals. The word religion is mentioned in the Bible, in the book of James, but not in relation to faith. It says, if anyone wants to be religious, you know, let him go and visit the fatherless and the widows. Yes, that is good religion. But that does not take you to heaven. If you go and visit the fatherless and the widows, and you think you'll go to heaven, then that becomes works for salvation. No, you're saved by faith and grace only, not by works. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, lest any man should boast. No works can save us. But if religious, you know, that's what they say. Well, take these pills religiously. You understand what that means? That means morning, afternoon, night, you know, do that. But religion, you know, Muslims do that morning, afternoon, night, you know. It doesn't take them to heaven. So religion, don't join, you know, Christianity as a religion. Yes, sometimes they refer to it as religious folk, you know, religion. But if you take it down to the truth of it, you know, Christianity is not a religion. It is faith. It is a way to heaven. It is a way of life. It is how we get eternal life. That's Jesus Christ. That is salvation. You know, that is not religion. Christianity is not a religion. Religion is nothing but a repetition of rituals, you know, made by somebody, you know. And in the bargain, you think that even doing the things in the Bible, like, you know, keeping the law, they might go to heaven. They'll still be thinking, well, I think I'm doing all this, so I should be going to heaven. No, you don't have to be in between, you know. Jesus has already done it. He paid it all. All you have to do is trust in what he has finished on the cross. And if you really do believe him, you will follow him. There's no such a thing as, yeah, I believe him for my salvation to go to heaven, but then I do my own. That's where the whole problem is coming. You know, actually, people are not understanding Christianity. Because people are saying, yeah, I believe Jesus. I'm going to heaven. I'm saved. But what about following him and, you know, serving him? Well, that's not my cup of tea. Well, God has given everybody at least one talent, according to the word of God. Don't say, I've got none. That means you're not glorifying God. So it says, given to the Lord, second verse. I'm going to finish up, brother. Glory due unto his name. I want to get to that, you know, before I finish. The word due. How many of us understand the word due? D-U-E, not D-E-W. D-U-E. That means due. We owe God something. He created us in his image. How many of us think that? That we are created in his image? We're not created different racially as people have made us to think. God made only one race, the human race. And he has made us in his image. Do you mean to say, man, God looks like an African person or an Indian person or a Chinese person or a European person? No, that's not what he means. Let me not go into that. But God, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. How much do we owe him? How much are we due to him? He's taking us to heaven, folks, not just 4 years of welfare. another 4 years of welfare. No. We are so much, you know, engrossed into that thing, you know. We not only watch 3 hours of debate, then after the debate, you know, post-debate show, and this guy puts the mic up to somebody and says, what do you think? What do you think? You know, the Republican guy and this guy, and they all have to, and we watch everything without even, you know, blinking our eyes. But when it comes to a half an hour extended service, you know, we do get uncomfortable in nice padded pews also. Sometimes. Now, are we giving him his due? Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Do you know we are not even worthy to sit in his presence? We're not even worthy to sit in his presence. But look at this. And worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. People don't know what holiness is all about. Everybody has their own way of thinking, you know, what their own rights and wrongs. But my right, maybe you're wrong. Then who tells us what's right? The Word of God. God has put it in his Word. The Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament, the law is there to prove to us that we cannot do good and reach heaven. That's why he gave us the law. People now, you know, there was a time in America they used to have the Ten Commandments in the schools. Now they have removed them. So what happens? Now I love this, this. When I saw the slide, child evangelism there in India also. Isn't it good for us to go and give the Bible when they're kids than go and give it to them when they're in jail? You know, when it comes to jail, no? Yeah, you guys are welcome. You know, you Christians can come and preach to them, you know, and make them good after they go into the jail. How come they're not allowing us to go into the schools and give them the Bible? We're not trying to make them convert into a religion. No, we're giving them the God who created them, who came down to this world to save them. Then all our jails will be empty. Now they're building new jails because they can't accommodate. They don't have enough. They have so many criminals. If we can go and give our Bibles to the kids, you know. So I love to see the kids, you know. In our ministry, we have 12 churches already. And we have, you know, youth camps and all. And every meeting, I love to see the kids. I tell the older folk, yeah, you guys, you know, you want to hang on to whatever you're thinking, go ahead. I'm moving on. I want the kids. I'm looking at the young people. You know, today, we can't even tell our young people not to put on tattoos. The Bible talks about tattoos, does it not? But that's way down somewhere. You know, it's not in the Ten Commandments. So because we got rid of the Ten Commandments, we don't even know those sub-commandments. I'm calling them sub. I don't mean them. But, you know, which extend after the Ten Commandments. It's all there. It's all right there. Don't make any piercings. Don't make any marks on your body. But who's going to listen to that today? Okay, if you've done it before you got saved, that's fine. God does save everybody. You know, one of our girls in our church, you know, she sang that song, "Come, now is the time to worship." You know, just as you are. So I told her to change those words. I told her, as you should come. You know, only for salvation, you should come just as you are. But not to worship. To worship, you should know how you should come. You should prepare your heart. When you prepare your heart, you'll prepare your clothes also. You'll come well-dressed. I was told by a pastor, brother, don't wear any suit. Come casually, because all our folk come in shorts. I said, would you go and meet the president in shorts? If you had a big appointment with the president of the United States, you know, hosting a dinner, would you wear your shorts and, you know, just your tank tops and go? I don't think so. I've not seen anyone, you know, in those clothes. In those White House meetings and, you know, all those dinners. So what about meeting the king? What about meeting the King of Kings? Remember, I'm going to finish with this. I've not finished the message. I can never finish the message. Because Jesus hasn't come back yet. I'm just going to finish with this. When Pilate asked Jesus, see, these guys are saying you're the king of the Jews. Are you really the king? You said it, boy. You're going to bend down in front of me one day. Today you're giving me up for them to crucify me. You know, I carry in my... I brought this from India. This is the wood from which... this is the thorn which belongs to the wood from which the altar of you know, the altar was made, the Ark of the Covenant, sorry. The Ark of the Covenant in the temple or in the tabernacle was made. This is the thorn from the acacia wood. We have them everywhere in India. And I don't know, there's no clear-cut description anywhere what, you know, plant they took to make the crown of thorns for the Lord Jesus Christ. I wouldn't be surprised if it's one of these. Just pierce it into your hand and see. It'll pain for 1 week. I've seen it. You know, when I was a kid, I did step on it. Man, this thing pains. You know, this thing aches. This is the wood the Lord used to make the Ark of the Covenant and overlay it with gold. We must worship Him in the beauty of holiness. Gold speaks of holiness. And God took us, this kind of people, you know. You know why the Lord was given a plaited crown of thorns? Because every thought that we think is like this to God. He doesn't agree with what we think. And they didn't pierce it in his foot. They pierced this in his head. Just imagine the pain, the agony the Lord went through. And Jesus was not 50% God, 50% human, as brother has reiterated in the class again. He's 100% God, and he is 100% human. The word Jesus means Savior. Matthew 1:21. He shall bring forth the Son, and he shall call his name Emmanuel, means God with us. That means Jesus is God. The Muslims don't like to believe that. You know why? Because they have Injil. They have four books. They have the Torah, which is the first five books from our Bible. And Muhammad has changed it. At the time, you know, where Isaac was taken for sacrifice, he says Ishmael was taken. And they don't even read it. And then they have the Zabur, which is Psalms, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. And then they have the Injil, which is the four Gospels which we have. And it clearly talks about Jesus being born to a virgin and born of the Holy Ghost and all these things. But then they believe something called the Quran, which is written by Muhammad. And he just, you know, dumps all this away and makes himself a prophet. And they believe him. They believe one person. I was talking to a Muslim. I'm done, brother. I was talking to a Muslim and I told him, you don't read your book. Just go ahead and go on and read it. You just see whatever I'm telling you is all there. But you know, they removed that Jesus was, you know, removed from the cross and somebody else was put there. And he came to Kashmir in India and he brought his Mary Magdalene and he gave birth to kids and he lived with a family there. That's what he lied to them. But this book, you know, is written by 40 authors over 1,500 years. But the message is the same. They're believing only one person's testimony, and he's lying to them. But our God, we need to give him all the glory due unto his name in the beauty of holiness. We need to know his holiness. That's why this book is called not just the Bible. It is called Holy Bible. Mankind can know holiness only if they come to this book. Don't watch that Bill Maher. Those guys, you know, they're dangerous. If you have the capacity to watch them, go ahead. But you should know this book more than listening to those guys. So may God bless America. May God bless Good Shepherd Baptist Church. May God bless Brother Milbury. Thank you for supporting our ministry. And every penny, and forget about the money, even if you don't have any money to give, pray for us. It's a country that belongs to the devil. Although God created it, but devil has occupied it. So it should become a country like this, you know, where you can say, in God we trust, and the God of the Bible. Thank you so much. May God bless you all, and I'll hand it over to Brother Milbury.